This week, finding bugs in LastPass while in the shower. IG gets a long overdue security feature. Malware trying to be stealthy to rip apart your network. Sharing is caring on docs.com. Ashamed to click a porn link. Crime that pays until you get arrested. And attacking critical infrastructure. Israel Barak joins us to talk about unifying industrial control system security operations into an enterprise SOC. All that and more on this edition of Hack Naked News. This is Security Weekly, for security professionals, by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News. Brought to you by Algorithms Netmon Freemium delivers real-time network visibility to quickly identify emerging threats in your IT environment. Netmon Freemium is a free commercial-grade network forensics and traffic analytics solution. You can use Netmon Freemium's powerful capabilities to search against all observed network traffic, identify abnormal traffic patterns and application usage, and quickly analyze full packet captures. Take the first step towards real-time network visibility. Visit logarithm.com/freemium to learn more and download it today. IT Pro TV, an easy, entertaining approach to online IT training. Stream over 2,000 hours of up-to-date, high-quality video content live and on demand. For a free 7-day trial and for a limited time, get 50% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. Visit itpro.tv/hacknaked and use the code HN50. Welcome to Hack Naked News number 117. I'm your host, Paul Asadorian, reporting on the information security news for March 28th, 2017. Quick announcement, IT Pro TV's courses now include Sierra Update, Let's Encrypt, ITIL SOA, and ITIL PPO. Premium annual memberships include video content as well as access to virtual labs and Q&A forums. You pay $85.70 per month, or you would pay, stay tuned, $85.70 a month or $857 per year. But we have a special offer for our listeners. For a limited time, get 50% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription by visiting itpro.tv/hacknaked and use the code HN50. On to the security news for this week. LastPass is in the news. That's right. Tavis Ormondi, reportedly while in the shower, came up with a way to bypass controls in the browser plugins for LastPass. Essentially, a malicious website could read all of your credentials with just a few lines of JavaScript. While this makes me feel uneasy and wanting to reset all of my passwords and probably take a shower, LastPass immediately shut down the vulnerable service and got working on a patch. They are one of the best when it comes to vulnerability disclosure response, which is why we love LastPass, even though they had a heinous vulnerability in their product. They fixed it. So LastPass users running 4.1.36 in Firefox and 4.1.43 in Chrome and 4.130 in Edge. Don't use Edge or Opera. Those are the ones that matter. They're all patched. Even Edge is patched against a serious vulnerability. A second overlapping vulnerability affects older Firefox 3.32 versions, with a fix being in the upgrade to 4.x. Instagram adds two-factor authentication, finally joining the ranks of Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn by allowing users to enable two-factor authentication. It uses SMS to send the code to your phone, but interesting how it generates backup codes. Upon turning the feature on, Instagram also supplies users with five different backup security codes in case a user can't receive a security code by text. That's right, in case your phone is stolen, right? So the codes are a set of 8 digits. They can also be used, like I said, if a phone has been stolen, compromised, or misplaced. The servers automatically, get this, saves a screenshot of the codes to the user's photo section of their phone and also allows the users to copy the codes to the device's clipboard. I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of copying your backup security codes to your phone in case your phone gets stolen, because that means that the people also could have access to your phone where the security codes are. So this is one of the reasons why two-factor authentication, I think, kind of gets a bad rap. Hopefully they come around and do support things like a token even. New clues surface on Shamoon 2's destructive behavior. Shamoon 2 uses a combination of legitimate tools, such as the open source utility PA exec, and batch scripts to evade detection and spread itself throughout a network, according to researchers at Palo Alto. Distract is the Shamoon malware component, known for its hallmark destructive behavior, where it spreads through the company's network and overwrites the master boot record on every computer it finds. Just like the viruses that used to spread on 3.25-inch floppies. Wow. Taking me back. Wow. There are components of Meterpreter in there as well, which should be pretty easily detectable by most endpoint security companies, such as Cyber Reason. I say that because Israel's here with us. We'll get to him in a second. All of the other activity is conducted using techniques that are not unique to the malware itself and are part of like normal everyday systems administration in order to evade detection. So that's kind of interesting. You could certainly detect this based on behavior now that they've pinpointed some of the behaviors of Shamoon 2. Yes, your dishwasher. That's right. Your dishwasher has a bug. And not the kind that would be like washed out by running your dishwasher. No, this is a vulnerability in a particular model for commercial uses by restaurants and bars. So not the dishwasher in your home. I don't understand why you need a web server in the dishwasher in your home. However, researchers notified the manufacturer, Miele. I want to say it's Miele. I'll get corrected on that. They make like really high-end appliances. They notified the manufacturer on November of 2016. Not getting anywhere in those in that disclosure process, they made the bug public. Details were posted about the directory traversal vulnerability, which again was running in the web server inside the embedded Linux system of the dish cleansing machines. I guess you do need to know what your dishwasher is up to if you're in a commercial application, perhaps. And IoT is here to save you or screw you at the same time. No word on just how clean the exploit is at this time, though the researchers did show the retrieval of the /etc/shadow file, which is just dirty. Docs.com is in trouble. You may have leaked passwords if you put them on docs.com. I mean, if you put files with passwords in them on a public site. Anyway, hooray for document sharing. If you're conducting phishing or social engineering attacks against an organization, this is probably where you wanted to look. Microsoft Docs.com, which has been temporarily shut down. So if you didn't get the documents by now, you can probably find some still cached out there. But Microsoft did shut down the service, was found to host a massive trove of sensitive information such as users' passwords, social security numbers, and more. The problem was twofold. First, thousands of people from Office 365 subscribers to others with a Microsoft single sign-on account were marking sensitive documents as non-public. And secondly, Microsoft is helpful and included a search bar of the public available documents. The internet is hard, but sharing your sensitive information apparently is easy if you were using docs.com. Ransomware scammers exploited a Safari bug to extort porn viewing iOS users. So here's the thing. If you clicked a porn link, I mean, a lot of us have clicked a porn link. I mean, let's just come clean with it, or maybe you don't. In this particular ruse, it enticed you with some porn, then created a loop in your browser that continually asked you for payment. However, it was the lamest ransomware ever, as clearing your browser cache did the trick to get rid of it. However, some people were too ashamed to admit they had clicked on a porn link and paid the ransom to make it go away. Lessons learned here, don't click on stuff, and don't be afraid to tell your computer security nerd friends that you were trying to look at porn. It's okay. We won't judge. A 48-year-old man was accusing of whaling two U.S. tech leviathans out of $100 million. Who says crime doesn't pay? Well, I mean, until you get caught. This is a great quote from the article, which sums it up nicely. Acting U.S. Attorney Jun Kim said, from half a world away, I'm going to butcher the name, of Vladis Rimasauskas, sort of, allegedly targeted multinational internet companies and tricked their agents into agents and employees into wiring over $100 million to overseas bank accounts under his control. This case should serve as a wake-up call to companies, even the most sophisticated, that they too can be victims of phishing attacks by cyber criminals. Hackers are already targeting our critical infrastructure, but not a huge deal, according to Robert Lee, an ICS, Industrial Control System Security expert, who says we won't likely see a cyber Pearl Harbor anytime soon. In an upcoming paper that Lee is previewing at an infrastructure hacking conference, he will reveal two new malware samples and campaigns found targeting ICS facilities. One used a PDF of a document about nuclear material management, which was laced with malware. And the second one pretends to be legitimate software to target Siemens programmable logic controllers, or PLCs. Essentially, the computers that control how industrial control systems operate. The malicious Siemens malware infected 10 sites across the world, mostly in the U.S., but also Europe and China, according to Lee. Now, here to talk a little more about ICS security and the integration of IT and OT is Israel Barak, the Chief Information Security Officer for Cyber Reason. But first, a word from our sponsors. We have a website, an external presence, employees, an office. Any of these things can be compromised and attacked. How are you defending these assets? Have you penetration tested these public assets? Start 2017 by taking a proactive approach to securing your vulnerable areas. Black Hills Information Security has been helping companies find their weaknesses since 2008. Email consulting@blackhillsinfosec.com and see how they can help you sleep better at night. Has your network been breached? Cyber Reason can help you answer this question. Cyber Reason products hunt for threats within your network and eliminate them in real time. To Cyber Reason, real time means within seconds. Founded by former military hackers who don't play by the rules, they've built this experience into their platform. Harness ingenuity and imagination, not just code, to defeat attackers. Cyber Reason, disrupt the adversary and let the hunt begin. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome, Israel Barak, back to the show. Israel, welcome to Hack Naked News.
Oh, thanks, Paul. It's great to be on the show.
It's great to have you, as always. You're an old Security Weekly veteran. You're one of the first guests, actually, in our new studio, which was a lot of fun. So you're also in the Boston area. That's correct, Israel?
That is correct, yep.
So are you attending Source Boston or speaking or doing anything with Source Boston?
Well, I'm planning to attend Source. It's going to be my second year there. Last year I attended based off of a recommendation that I gotten from a colleague. I didn't know a lot about the conference, but after spending the a few hours there, it was just a very good experience. So I'm definitely going to attend this year as well.
Fantastic. We'll see you there. And Security Weekly listeners can receive a $100 discount on either trainings or the conference talks by using the code SecurityWeekly at sourceconference.com. So, Israel, you wanted to talk about a topic that I think just it gets more and more relevant as we go on. And being in the kind of ICS circles several years ago, we always talked about the integration of IT or the traditional information technology department and operational technology, the people that like run the nuclear power plant and the systems that support that. So I'm curious to get your take on this particular integration and some tips as to successful ways in which we can do that.
Well, I think in the context of working with the Cyber Reason technology, we work with cyber operations centers and security operations centers to enhance their tool set and capabilities, and so SOC architectures are something we regularly come across. And I think an interesting aspect of this is what we see happening in many organizations that operate both an IT network and an OT network. And, I think the security practices of OT network are really going through a similar process to what happened in the IT networks maybe, 10 to 15 years ago. Traditionally, the security of those OT networks really relied on, segregating them from internal IT networks and obviously from external networks. And that was mostly through either firewalls or in many cases with unidirectional traffic devices that would essentially allow traffic to go from, the OT network out but not in. That was really kind of the basic understanding of how to secure an OT network, and that obviously doesn't provide any type of significant obstacle as it relates to a half sophisticated attacker.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, as we use firewalls to separate infrastructure, I think that's a good thing. But it's kind of curious when we start moving down the path of getting OT to where IT has gone. Do you find that, is it like one SOC now? So is it essentially one operation center that's handling OT in IT. I mean, because it's kind of like a merger and acquisition, right? You had two teams that were operating independently. Do you see the SOC as one way that they can easily come together?
Definitely, definitely, for sure. I think, you know, I think the industry is realizing, just like, you know, the IT security industry realized a long time ago, that really many attack tools and techniques would allow an attacker to gain access into, you know, an air-gapped or segregated network. And there's very little the SOC can actually detect or even see right now in the OT side of the business, let alone in response to contain an incident. And really the attack in many cases gets detected only after the attacker actually starts causing some visible damage. So I think that leveraging on that pain point of let's try to, you know, really step away from the perimeter defense-only security approach into really trying to understand what is happening in our network based on the understanding that people can get past perimeter security, even in some cases pretty easily, and integrate that into our SOC to see if we can stop these, you know, these breaches from actually getting to their damaged stage.
Yeah, and I think traditionally we've applied security technologies to the ICS controls or sensitive operations areas like that in ICS that have been very low impact, right? Because you can put up a firewall, and for the most part, if it's just separating the network, it's not going to impact operations necessarily, right? It's a relatively low risk of impacting a computer that needs to talk to a PLC that is controlling some critical part of the application. And I think the technology we had probably 10 or 15 years ago probably wasn't best suited for that environment, right? But in the past 10 or 15 years, we've, I mean, obviously Cyber Reason's a sponsor and you work for Cyber Reason, but the technology has come a long way where we can play, I think, better in that environment without impacting their operations. And now in a time where industrial control systems are certainly targeted more than ever before, I think that's what's going to need to happen. So can you speak about how maybe more safely we can apply some of these security controls to such sensitive environments?
Well, of course, you know, I think that in many cases, we're seeing that, you know, whilst a portion of the equipment in the OT network is obviously still you know, proprietary network protocols, non-standardized operating systems, not necessarily something that you can easily integrate into a SOC. There are definitely some low-hanging fruits that you can already integrate, like the HMI supervisory systems that can be easily integrated into a standardized SOC, traffic collected off of the network that can be easily integrated into a SOC. And you can take actions in response to an incident that was detected in an early stage to disrupt it without really jeopardizing any of the OT network operations. So, for example, you mentioned, you know, we talked about Shamoon, and you mentioned it earlier in the show, which is Shamoon is and its payload are, you know, it's a wiper, right? And, you know, it's rather common in the Persian Gulf and in Saudi Arabia. It's launched against, you know, it's been launched against multiple manufacturing and production networks in the area. And it's sometimes attributed to Iranian nation-state cyber operations. But the reality is, if you have the right visibility into your industrial control system environment, this can be caught and disrupted very early on in its process as it's dumping credentials, as it's laterally moving with PSExec, way before it actually reaches a stage where it has spread to the extent that it actually wanted to spread as far as it could and actually reaches its damaged stage, right, where it actually starts shutting down those machines. And that can be detected and disrupted fairly easily by simple things as, you know, shutting down and quarantining those processes, you know, things that we've learned to accept as, you know, that are best practices in IT networks. It's just that in OT networks, they haven't been, you know, fully assimilated into the organization's processes.
Yeah, certainly malware tends to have a different signature than an administrator using a tool. And while they do use the same tools to evade detection, it's how they're using that can often either on the system, on the network, or within the logs be able to be detected like that, which I think is important to point out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, have you found, Israel, that places that are in charge of some kind of infrastructure, critical infrastructure, are they now more willing to have software on some of their endpoints to protect them than they were before? I know before, like 10, 15 years ago, they were like, no way. But we just talked about an attack where inside of a PDF, there was a malicious payload that was specifically targeting critical infrastructure. So have you seen kind of the progression into it be more accepting?
Yes, we're definitely seeing more and more of it. Obviously, there's regulation and there's control processes that you have to go through. And you want to make sure that, you know, you keep the environment as stable as it was before the introduction of the new tool. And everything is, it goes through this a standardized and stable change control process. But we're seeing a lot more acceptance today to introduce these, you know, both visibility and detection tools into those environments to allow an integrated SOC to have an ability to detect and respond to an incident, at least based on some of the more standardized components of the OT network.
Now, Cyber Reason, you folks still have a free ransomware tool, is that correct?
That is correct. It's actually been gaining a lot of traction. We've had hundreds of thousands of downloads in the past couple of months. And, you know, we basically try to quantify the value of the tool based on how much ransom payments we believe the tool actually saved people from paying.
That's a good measure.
So we take the detection and the type of strain of the ransomware that we blocked and the amount of the average ransom sum strain typically demands for, and we kind of, you know, we run an we have a running average of how much we've actually saved, and I think for now it's in the millions. I think the tool is saving a lot of money for people.
That's fantastic. You can get that free tool at ransomfree.cyberreason.com and check it out for yourself. Israel Barak, thank you very much for appearing on Hack Naked News.
Thank you, Paul.
That concludes this edition, and we'll see everyone next time. Thanks for listening and watching.